This morning's scripture reading will be from Proverbs 16, 21 through 25, and then also James 3, 1 through 12. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. The wise in heart will be called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And then James 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for these instructions. Lord, as we open your word now and we consider your truth, Lord, we ask that you would teach us. Lord, we recognize our weaknesses and our sinfulness and all of our tendencies to go our own way and to lean on our own understanding. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless, that you would humble us and teach us your ways. Lord, I pray you'd protect everyone here from my error, that your truth would go forth. Lord, we have come, we have opened your word, we want to hear from you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask now that you would teach us and bless us, that you would convict our hearts, that you would strengthen us and build us up. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week, in Proverbs, we looked at the great value of wisdom, and wisdom is priceless. And so this week, in these next few verses that we'll look at this morning in Proverbs, we will see some of the effects of wisdom. Wisdom affects us in many different ways. The wisdom of God, the way that God is working in our lives. But one of the main areas mentioned that we will see in these verses are that wisdom affects how we speak, which is certainly very important. Our words are powerful, as we read in James. And also we will see here in Proverbs the connection made numerous times between our heart and our mouth, the words that we speak. Now there's many things in these verses here, many different points. But before I give you the outline for the message, I just want to mention some of these points, some of the lessons that we will see. And but first of all, we will see how much we need Christ. We need Christ. We need His wisdom. His wisdom in our heart, affecting our whole life. And certainly as we consider God's wisdom, it's impressed upon us again how much we need to know His Word. We need to be feeding on God's Word so that we might grow in His wisdom. Also, we need each other. We need to be encouraged by each other. We need to use our words to uplift and strengthen and build each other up. Certainly we need Christ, but what a blessing. How much we need each other. We need our brothers and sisters. And also, we recognize as we look in Proverbs here this morning, how undeserving we are of God's wisdom. He has blessed us so much. He has poured out His wisdom upon us. And why would He pour it out upon us? I mean, of all people, we are undeserving. We deserve His wrath. And yet He has blessed us so abundantly with His wisdom. So our goal again, as we look, as we go through life, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So the title of this message is The Effects of Wisdom. The effects of wisdom. Number one, wisdom spreads. Number two, wisdom guides you. Number three, wisdom flows from your mouth. Number four, wisdom brings words of edification. And last and not least, number five, without wisdom is death. So let's begin with verse 21. Wisdom spreads. The wise in heart will be called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Now, wisdom spreads in many different ways. And here in this verse, we see that wisdom spreading in at least two ways that we'll see here in this verse. But before we look at wisdom spreading, let's first notice that wisdom is a matter of the heart. You see, the heart is really the starting point for wisdom in us. If your heart is wise, then there will be wisdom in your thoughts, wisdom in your speech, in your actions. We must understand that without a wise heart, all our thoughts and actions, all of our speech will stem from a foolish heart, a heart that is darkened. So wisdom in the heart is the starting point. So the verse begins, the wise in heart will be called discerning. This is speaking of wisdom in the heart spreading into making good judgments, making good decisions. They will call him discerning. Now we cannot see a man's heart, but what we can see are his actions, his life, the choices that he makes. You see, we can't see his heart, but we can see the fruit, can't we? And so we can see that the wise in heart have displayed that wisdom in their life. That wisdom in their heart doesn't just sit there idle, not doing anything. It's not just sitting on the shelf. but it's spreading throughout their whole being. So with wisdom in their heart, they begin choosing correctly between good and evil. They begin bearing good fruit. And thus they get the reputation of being discerning, prudent, and they will be called discerning. So we see here, first of all, that wisdom spreads from our heart. It affects our judgments, our decisions, all of our choices, so that we might choose wisely. But it doesn't stop there. Wisdom continues to spread. Wisdom not only spreads within us, but it also spreads from us to others. Second half of the verse, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Some other versions, instead of persuasiveness, use the word learning. And the idea here is that the wise in heart communicate well. They use their words wisely, and then wisdom spreads to others. Others are then taught and increase in learning, that they may be persuaded, that they might be convinced of what is true and wise. And this is oftentimes how the Lord spreads wisdom, isn't it? The Lord chooses to spread wisdom by wise men simply communicating the truth to others. Now, we probably all wish that we could communicate better. If you're like me, sometimes you find yourself in a conversation and something comes up that you didn't expect, and you see the great opportunity to speak wisdom into this situation, but you just can't think of the right words to use. And if you're like me, it isn't till later, maybe even, you know, the next day before, oh, you know, it hits you. You think of it. Oh, you know, this was the perfect response. This was the right answer. I didn't think of it at the right time. And certainly, I was talking to Kevin already this morning about just the struggle of preaching. And, you know, even when you know what you're going to talk about, and you know the passage, and you study it, and you get done, and you just wish you could have said it better. Certainly we all desire to be able to communicate better. But we need to keep in mind what's important. You see, God gifts us all differently. Some people communicate better than others. But what is really important here? You see, it would be better to have a wise heart and have some struggles in communicating God's wisdom to others than it would be to have a foolish heart and yet be the most eloquent, poetic speaker. Wisdom. Wisdom in the heart. So the question is, do you have a wise heart? May God use you to spread wisdom to others, to all of those around you. Now we won't do this perfectly, but by God's grace, we will choose our words wisely, and God will use our speech to spread wisdom to others. So wisdom spreads. The wise in heart will be called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Verse 22, wisdom guides you. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. Now we were taught in verse 16 that understanding is to be chosen above silver. And here we see why. You see, the understanding that a wise man has is priceless. It instructs him in every situation in life. Wisdom is guiding him, showing him the right way to go, the way of life. You see, God uses wisdom to guide you. And it isn't just a cupful of life to him who has it. No, it's a fountain of life. You see, it's abundant. It's ever flowing. It doesn't run out. So understanding is a fountain of life, blessings without number that will guide you aright. Second half of the verse, but the discipline of fools is folly. You see, the fool is not guided by God's wisdom, but rather by his own wisdom, by his own instructions. You see, he has a better plan. He has a better idea. But it's folly. You see, the worst thing a fool can do is listen to his own advice. You see, he's blind and he's guiding himself. Unlike true wisdom and understanding, which is a fountain of life, the fool's instructions and disciplines lead him to death, eternal death. You see, he is leading himself astray. So wisdom guides you. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. Now, verse 23, wisdom flows from your mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Here we see how wisdom affects how we talk. And again, we see that it all starts with the heart. Matthew 12, 34 and 35 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil." So we see that what is in a man's heart flows out of his mouth. If foolishness is in your heart, that's what will come out of your mouth. But if wisdom is in your heart, then it is wisdom that will flow from your mouth. So wisdom in the heart, that's what's most important. The heart is where all our words come from. And we see in this verse that the wise heart teaches his mouth what to say, adds persuasiveness to the lips. You see, it's wisdom that gives our words weight, purpose, meaning. Without wisdom, though our words may be eloquent and graceful, they're worthless and unprofitable. They would be better left unsaid. But with wisdom flowing from your mouth, there is true substance in what is said. There is real purpose in speaking. The goal is not to entertain or to impress people, but rather to increase in learning, to communicate wisdom, to persuade and convince of good judgments and truth. Now, this convincing or persuading others in truth is not speaking only of witnessing to the lost, but it is our conversations with each other, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, instructing each other, reminding each other of the truth. And we need this desperately, don't we? You see, we're forgetful people. We're prone to wander. And so we need to be persuading and re-persuading each other in the truth, in God's wisdom. You know, how many times have you been in a conversation with a brother or sister and they express a truth to you, and you already knew it, but you heard it as if it was for the first time, You see, we need to be reminded. We need to constantly be preaching to each other, be speaking words of wisdom. So wisdom flows from your mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Verse 24, wisdom brings words of edification. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Here we see more of the constructive effects of wisdom in the words that we speak. Isn't this really incredible, how God works in the hearts of men? He works through the words that we speak, and he blesses and edifies others. Words are very powerful. The words that we speak have an impact on those around us. They are not meaningless. They do not accomplish nothing. And so if the words that we are speaking to those around us are harsh words, if we're complaining, criticizing, if we're speaking words of hopelessness and fearfulness, we will not be a blessing to those around us. You see, those words harm others. They aren't good for anyone. But this verse speaks of pleasant words, words that are gracious and kind, words that encourage others and build them up. The verse says that these words are sweet. These words are healing. You see, these words are the best. Not only are they enjoyable, are they sweet, but they're nutritious. You know, just think of this in the context of food. You see, these are not just sweet, empty words like you think of cotton candy with no nutritional value. But neither are these your vegetable words that are full of nutrition, but no sweet flavor to enjoy. But these are the best. These are the perfectly balanced words. They are sweet, yet full of substance, edifying and enjoyable. You see, honey and the honeycomb is really the best description, because honey is sweet, but it's also good for you. So what is this speaking of? This is really what it is to speak the truth in love. It's giving to people what is good for them. It's giving them what they need, but it's giving it to them in such a way that is pleasant, that's enjoyable, that they enjoy it. And when these words are spoken, it's edifying to both body and soul. You see, it's all connected, body and soul. If your soul is encouraged and healthy, it will show in your body as well. Now, don't misunderstand, I'm not speaking a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you won't get sick or die of cancer or any other illness. But I'm sure that you've experienced this at times. When your body is sick and yet your spirit is so uplifted and thriving that you don't feel near as bad as you should. Or the opposite as well. When physically there's nothing really wrong with you at all, but because of spiritual trials, you're hurting. You're weak. You don't feel good. So words are powerful. They affect the soul and the body. Now we all have great opportunities every day to speak pleasant words to those around us, to speak words of hope, words of life, to them, to encourage others and strengthen them, building them up, bringing them healing. Consider Jesus' ministry as he described it to John's disciples in Matthew 11:5. He said, "The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." You see the sweetness, you see the healing in what Jesus brought. And so now, today, because of Christ and his work in your life, you now have the opportunity to continue on in his ministry of bringing healing, edification to those around you, building them up, healing those who are hurting. And all the glory goes to Christ, because we recognize that apart from him and his effect in our life, none of our words would be pleasant. We would be destroying all of those around us with the words that we speak. So wisdom brings words of edification. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Verse 25, "Without wisdom is death. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." This is a very important verse. It's so important that in looking back through Proverbs, I noticed that there is another verse earlier on. I don't have it written down here exactly where it is, but it's word for word. It's the same verse. This is so important. "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." You see, we see the fallen condition of man here. We see where man's wisdom leads. And this is where we will all be apart from Christ. Apart from God, from his wisdom. You see, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the wrong way. We're so good at justifying the way that we want to go and convincing ourselves that the way we want to go, that's the right way. Sinful man leans on his own understanding. He just follows his heart, but the outcome isn't good. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" You see, this is the condition of the heart that is without wisdom. It is deceitful. It is sick. Proverbs 28:26 begins, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. You see, it's so much easier for us to see this in others, isn't it? We see them making choices in life, and it's so obvious to us that they're going their own way. It's easy for us to recognize sin in their life. You see, we're just naturally good at justifying our sin, at giving a good reason why we just have to do what we're doing. But this verse is a warning for all of us to be very careful. Don't deceive yourself. We need to be impartial in self-examination. We need to hold our lives up to the perfect standard of God's holy word. But not just our lives or our actions, but our thoughts and our motives as well. You see, just because something seems right to us doesn't mean it is right. What we really need to know is what is right according to the Lord. What has God said is right? And this is a struggle. You see, we need to quit looking to ourself for the answers. I was just reminded just last night of this tendency. Anna went to town and she brought back Chinese food. And so, you know, they have those fortune cookies. And so inside the fortune cookie, you know, there's a piece of paper with this note on it. I don't remember what they all said, but one of them said something about God is going to bless you. And I was surprised because most of them, for the most part, are all very much, all the answers to all your problems are deep within you. You just need to search yourself. You see, that's exactly what this verse is talking about. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, don't look to yourself. Don't look to yourself. Look to Christ. We need Christ. So there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Do you see how hopeless we are apart from Christ? We're dead. We're dead. Even while we live, we're dead apart from Christ. Without God and His wisdom, we would just do what seems right to us. But it would be the wrong thing. And we would just continue on our path to destruction, all the way to hell. So may God protect us from deceiving ourselves and keep us from going our own way. Not only should this verse cause us to examine our lives and look to Scripture to see if we are going the right way, but it should also make us all the more grateful to God, seeing how hopeless we are without Him. Without wisdom is death. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So in conclusion, we have seen from Proverbs this morning some of the effects of wisdom. Certainly not all, but some of the effects of wisdom. What a blessing. As God blesses us. And we have also seen some of the negative effects of man's wisdom, of rejecting God's wisdom. What a glorious work God is doing in us. Isn't it amazing that He takes sinful men like us and He gives us Christ? He gives us true wisdom and He works that in us. And He guides us and He teaches us. And He uses us to spread that wisdom to others, to those around us. What a blessing. What a privilege. And may our desire continually be, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We have been blessed greatly. Let us share this blessing. Let us spread the wisdom of God with those around us. Again, both those who are lost and those who are brothers. God has blessed us abundantly with His wisdom. Let us continue His ministry in sharing His truth with others. Let's pray. Lord, we are so undeserving. Lord, we deserve your wrath. We're sinners. We have rebelled against you. And yet you have blessed us. You have given us Christ. You have given us true wisdom. Lord, apart from you, we would be going our own way. Oh Lord, thank you so much for your wisdom, for not leaving us where we were. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you continue to work in us. We thank you for how your wisdom works its way out in all of our life. Lord, we think of the way that we speak. We think of the opportunities we have. Lord, we pray that you would be guiding and directing our words. Lord, that we would be uplifting and building up and encouraging all those around us, that we would be pointing them to you. You, where our hope lies. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, we pray you would use us in the words we speak and our whole lives, that we would glorify you, that we would proclaim your truth and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.